Hello and welcome to the Delicious Recipe here on UPRN. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can check us out on UFO Paranormal Radio, UFO Paranormal Radio, and I believe the other one is UFO Gods and Extraterrestrials. And name this one there Jambalaya. It's a big mix of stuff if you know what a jambalaya is. And tonight I have again my guest Laura Lee. How's Laura Lee doing?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Yes, so a lot of things have been sort of been happening. I'm going through a sort of a rough couple of 2 weeks there. Got bit by a spider, bit by a dog, went through a cold. Still going, coming out of the part of that there. But other than that, still living. Anyways, how things been going with you there, Laura Lee?
I don't know where the time goes, to tell you the truth. I swear to God, time's going by faster. I should mention to you guys, I'm a host on the network as well. The Angel Rock Monday nights, 9 p.m. I meant to mention that. And I apologize. Apparently, I'm quite loud, but I hope you guys can hear Del. Okay. Hi, Michelle. Welcome. Nice to see you here. So they're going okay. Just overwhelming. I've been reminding people, too, it doesn't matter what we do. And I'm not like I'm overly suspicious or anything, but I think we need to check everything to verify facts. And this has really nothing to do with what's going on. I guess in a way it does. Somebody sent me a video today. And this person says, it says, now watch your medications. Everybody be very careful. And so they were all foil lined, right? And I know what you would call this, Del, living with you too. Is the guy goes to one pill out of a packet of about 12 and he pops it out, unscrews it, and there's a nail in there. And what? Then he grabs another package of pills, like as there's a cut in the camera, and again takes just one pill out, and there's like five little nails in it. Now to me, knowing, being a nurse myself too, that you can, it's very easy to get equipment to be able to close a blister pack with foil. And why would you just go to that, just that one pill? You'd be filming already, right, Del? How many times have you said this? Why are you filming? And you catch it just when you're filming, and you know just the pill you're going to take, and you just pop it open, and there's a nail in it. Does that not sound a little suspicious to you?
Yes, that also sounds like stuff. Remember you get the whole thing about when it comes to Halloween with people that would go and put foreign objects and apples and stuff like that. That's why you mm-hmm. like get, or in candy and stuff like that. And you always sort of got to wonder why people sort of get this sort of thing in their head that they want to do stuff like that during this time of season. And it always seems to be, well, because you got these kids coming up trick or treating and that, or people buying stuff at the store because of getting treats and stuff like that. Now, what sort of a sick mentality in your head would, create a person that would do stuff like this? Like I don't know, this has been an ongoing thing for all through my life, 51 years.
Yeah, since we were little. Yeah, like you knew when you went out, right? Your parents told you you can't eat anything until we check it, if it was a mm-hmm. homemade treat, unless you even, if you knew the person it was coming from, that was different. But homemade treats, and I felt bad because some people really made some beautiful treats when my kids were little and also when I was little, but you, because you didn't know them, like I don't understand, like why would somebody do that? Like that just never made sense to me. Like why would you put razor blades and apples or glass and like popcorn balls, or I don't know.
Yeah, well, I never understood that even reminds me of when I was living in Toronto there back in the early 2000s, there was some nut bars that were out there. What they took was pieces of wood and hot glued razor blades in it and buried them in the sand so that when people were in the beach and running around and playing beach volleyball, because there was a big, huge thing down there that people would be jumping up and going down, and then they would slice their feet open. And they went through, I think it was Ashbridge Bay and Sunnyside and stuff like that. They had the police or the city, I can't remember if it was the police or the city, had to go through there with metal detectors to go and find all these boards that somebody had gone through in the middle of the night and hid pieces of wood with razor blades on it so it would slice open people. And there was a lot of people that were actually injured by this, and animals too as well. But you got to think, what kind of sick society are we living in now that people are doing stuff like this? And it's the same thing where you get into this whole last year of the BLM Antifa movement, where they took over cities and destroyed things, and you have protests that go out and pull things down and do that because they figure that they're entitled to do that. And it gets in this whole thing, even like lots of stuff has been in the news there, even talking about this whole gender thing there with the alphabet gender people there and stuff like that, causing you can't mention anything because you're hurting feelings instead of facts. It's facts, it's feelings. Like lots of weird stuff has just progressed through, and it's just a really different world now that we've come to be associated with. What do you think there, Laura?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, even around where we live, some people have been putting rat poison in hot dogs and glass and other animals. It's animals, like pets going out for a walk that are getting damaged or, you know, really severely hurt. I shouldn't say damaged. That sounds so inhuman. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome from the UK. Nice to see you. I think what, you know, I think you touched on an important topic here. And just so anybody's clear, my eldest son and Del's stepson, he's part of the LGBTQ community, obviously his partner is, so we are not against any group in any way, shape or form. But he's right about this, and I'm going to touch on a topic I talked about probably about 2 years ago, and he's been kind of quiet with everything else going on. He's in British Columbia, but he made international news. And I'm calling him he. I'm not purposely misgendering him. Jeannie says, hi, Del. Hey. And this is this Jonathan Yaniv. And what he's done and gotten away with, that had I, like, I use a cane when I'm out because of my back. And if I had taken a cane to a reporter that was speaking to me, as if a reporter would talk to me, but I'm saying if I did and smacked him over the head with it, I would have been in jail. This guy is caught on camera doing this, and he's claiming to be transgender. I'm not stating one way or the other, but his own mother still calls him he and a boy. He's been in women's bathrooms taking pictures of teenage girls. There's been so he wanted to have a topless pool party with LGBTQ youth from the ages of 12 to 18, but no parents were allowed. Only he was allowed to be there.
Yeah, that's when he was a fan of some sort of, he started some sort of a fan group for some girl band.
Yeah, it was a really small indie female group. Yet he's done so many things. And then what he did was, right, he got internationally famous. And I think he purposely did this. Now, again, this is just my opinion. But he lives in British Columbia, and he went around to home businesses and targeted women that were landed immigrants that were of Muslim faith. Part of the religion is you do not have a man in your home while your husband is at work or anything like that. What woman would have a man in your home? And they refused to wax his genitalia. So he went to the Human Rights Commission and
first he said that, well, because he was going there, he went as a woman. And he has
he told them he was transgender.
And he says, wax my vajayjay.
But there was no vajayjay. And when he showed up, he doesn't pass as a woman. It was very clear he was a man. So these women had said, no, I'm sorry. So he decided to take them to the Human Rights Commission, claiming that he was prejudiced against because he was transgender. No, that's not what this was.
Right.
And then he has since been caught about what he's been doing. And he got fined, I think, a whole $3,000. He's put all these women out of business, cost them so much. Thank God there was a lawyer that took their case pro bono. But my whole point of sharing this is he got away with a lot by using the label transgender. And I'm going to bring up about what we looked at with Stephen Crowder, with Louder with Crowder, because that was tragic what happened in that school. You want to share that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Oh, okay. So what happened basically was, I guess there was a now this is his words, not mine, Stephen Crowder, but a boy that claimed to be, I guess, bisexual, but was wearing a dress, and a young girl was in the bathroom, and he raped her and sodomized her.
Yeah, he went into he went into, because he was wearing a dress.
A skirt,
He went into the female bathroom.
And he raped and sodomized this young girl. The girl's father was called to the school. And the school wanted to handle it internally. And the dad said, no, we're calling the police, and rightfully so. Go ahead, Del. You can probably tell better than I can.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing that came out of it, that the father ended up getting in trouble because of misgendering this person that raped his daughter. So this is how crazy our society has become now.
And he did it again, too.
Yeah.
6 months later, they never told the parents. He did it again. So this gentle young kid, even though they finally had the police involved, and this father, there was a clip of him reacting, the police had to tackle him. I don't know where that was it at the school, or I walked in when that happened, or the courtroom.
I can't remember where that was there.
But what happened was, the whole point Stephen Crowder said this was because if you just saw that bit of a clip, you would think, oh my god, like, what is with this guy? Once you find out the story. And so the school was wanting to handle this internally, and the police not being called. And thank God this father said yes, but none of the parents were notified what happened. Apparently a note went out to the parents that there was a father that was very angry and yelling, but none of the students were disturbed. None of this was told to the parents. A couple months later, this guy does it again to another, another female student. Like, how livid would you be? But again, why are we allowing this? Because this is what I'm seeing is, I'm not saying everybody's like this. And what I'm saying, that we get these, you know, we're all creating these subgroups. And if you've got a certain title on your group, you're on it. You don't play by the same rules, it seems, as everybody else.
That is totally correct. And this is the thing that JT and the Sunshine Band collection has gone and done. The Human Rights Commission of Canada has done this. And I talked about this many times before. This is a whole thing of what the OSF does, right? They go and they put people into positions, and they change the narrative to go and break down countries that they want to appropriate for themselves, right? Like, Canada has a lot of resources and stuff like that, and George Soros could use those resources to go and sell them globally. And you're seeing this more and more and more. And people don't want to believe. They go, well, that's all conspiracy theory. That's all just a load of hooey that he's not really like that and stuff like that. But it's actually true. It shows up that these people are getting given large amounts of money to take positions and change law and change the structure of how society is. You got to look from me and you both there for over 50 years, what happened from 1970 up to 2021, the stuff that has changed and what is being allowed and what is being disallowed. And this, we're not going to talk about the CV, the jab or anything like that, but there was a big, huge issue about choice, my body. And they did this with the abortion thing. Now they're discounting that. And the human rights commissions are discounting all that stuff. They're saying, well, no, you have to follow what we're saying you have to do.
Well, in Canada, that's happening. Not every country, but in Canada, yes, our human rights commission has sadly very let us all down. They've been inundated with phone calls, and they put out a statement that they don't consider this a travesty in any way, that because of the state of the country, that we have to go along with what we don't have any rights. Our rights aren't being infringed on, basically.
Right. And this is a big thing. This is a topic that was even talked about. And if anybody watched Sanjay Gupta, I said his name wrong, I'm sorry, and Joe Rogan podcast, I watched that just today. And what CNN was saying about Joe Rogan and ivermectin and stuff like that, and then he was saying there, and he the doctor apologized for what he said, and he didn't see it that way, but they're still trying to push this part that government knows you better than your own personal doctor. And that is such a sad, sad state of affairs. Mm-hmm. Not to say what a Hall & Oates song that is, but anyways, but it is. It's a sad state of affairs.
Well, it is. And the thing is, you know, we've gone from the Me Too movement, which got twisted towards the middle to, you know, not that it's ever ended. And I think it was an important statement, but it got twisted, as things often do. And then, you know, we've got into, like you say, my choice, my body. And then now it's like doctors don't matter what they have to say unless they're going along with the narrative. And the concern is, that's, I think that's why I said at the beginning, you have to question everything. Mm-hmm. You really do. And I know you joined in just a little bit later, Janie. Michelle, she's still here, was here. And I was talking about, somebody had sent me a video with these pills, said you got to check all your medications. This was on Facebook, and somebody opening up a blister pack, meaning there was foil on the back with these pills, and just one pill took out, knew what one to go. The camera was filming and there happened to be a nail in it. Well, I call BS on that. I really do, because it's not that difficult. If you've got the machine or you know somebody's a pharmacy, you can get a blister pack made up very, very easily. They do it all the time. So, or the chemist, I guess, Jeannie, you may call them that in the UK. But my whole point is, and Del's the one that made me start to think this way, and he's right. Why do you have the camera going at the exact moment? Like, how did he know that there was going to be nails in this blister pack? He didn't, right? And how did he know just to go to that one specific pill?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny part, because this is what we talked about there many times here, because also on this show there
about 17 minutes, Jeannie. I saw when you popped on, you didn't miss us by much, I don't think.
Yeah. So this even goes into this whole part there. This is one thing that I've noticed about even just people that do podcasts or do these ghost paranormal shows and stuff like that, that they have the camera pointed right at the exact perfect framed in spot where something happens, and then you have to go, that's just, that's sort of interesting, like why would that have happened just like that? And then you have it again, that all their videos, that's perfectly framed, that the event happens right in the center of the picture. And
maybe spirit was cooperating. Well, there is one thing I can think of. If you know, say, if you're investigating and you know that, say, the homeowner or whomever says this is where most of the activity happens, and we know that, it's not the only place it happened, but in our old house, we pretty well had an idea where most of the activity was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a shout out here quick there. It says, got Jenny Spencer, and then we got Michelle Millen.
She said hi to you, Jeannie.
Okay,
already.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Thanks for coming by here.
Jeannie's over in the UK. Mm-hmm. She said, I like your hat. Oh, thank you. I made it. This is the actually resin, because I did a video on resin today. That's another reason I'm not allowed to go live on Facebook. We don't know why. I'm not in jail. I have no infractions. But they've decided I can't do that. That's why this isn't on my profile. Eventually, it should be on Del's profile. But with him working and stuff, I'm the one that got him set up today. That's why I can see probably the comments better than Del.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't figured out this StreamYard stuff there yet at all. So.
Yeah, that's what happened on Monday night, by the way, Jeannie, with my show with Dr. Madej. I found out I couldn't stream to Facebook, and I have no infractions. I have no warnings. I have nothing. So I was added as an admin to a group that posts quite a bit of truth. That's the only thing I can think. I haven't listened to the messages, but I just removed myself as I'll stay in the group, but not as an admin, because I can't think of any other reason. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Poor Del, he's got his tools and I got my craft tools.
Yep. That's true. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so out of this thing there, that I just seen the whole part there. I don't know if you watched it there, Laura, but the CNN, how they went and had destroyed, or not destroyed, had said that they kept on using the term horse dewormer.
Oh, yes, I've heard this, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this was the whole point about this, Dr. Sanjay Gupta that was showed up on Joe Rogan. Anybody wants to watch it, you can just go on Spotify. You can rewatch the.
It's like I didn't see it. It was three hours long.
And
I wish I would have dealt because he has been a player in this whole narrative. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, it was three hours long, and basically he's all you're doing is asking questions, and that's what we do on the Delicious Recipe. Besides, mm-hmm. we throw lots of stuff in the pot, and you see how it tastes at the end, but. Ask questions and question everything. Some things people are not going to like the taste of it at all, but that's the whole part about asking questions. You know what? People don't like when you're told no, right? And because they want it to be their way, their only way. And that's just the way it is that's they can't, there's no compromise, right?
Or they want to be right.
They have to be right. And mm-hmm. this is all the whole, basically the 3 hour thing is like, Joe Rogan was asking him questions and gives him facts, medical facts from mm-hmm. peer-reviewed doctors and statistics. Mm-hmm. And the guy keeps on going, well, no. Well, you should still get jabbed anyways. He goes, well, no. Why? What does that make any sense? And that's just, I didn't want to go into the jab stuff there at all, but that was just fresh in my mind anyways that I've just.
It was an interesting perspective, it sounds like, that, you know, to have the kind of, and I don't mean it this way when I say it, but the power that Joe Rogan does with the numbers and to be able, that was pretty brave of Dr. Sanjay Gupta to go on there.
He's from CNN doctor.
Right? I know who he is. That's why I'm saying it was pretty brave. He was pretty brave to go on there, probably knowing that Joe was going to do this. But I mean, what an refreshing perspective to see somebody that has that kind of power. When I say Joe Rogan, and I don't mean in a nefarious way, but he's got the viewership and he's got mm-hmm. enough people watching him to put him in the hot seat. So I definitely going to watch this because I think it'll be worthwhile. Jeannie says, is Joe Rogan still on YouTube? No, I don't think he is.
You can go watch it on Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify, because he's got the video up on Spotify. But he left YouTube quite a while ago, right, Del?
Yeah. There's little clips that they do have on YouTube and stuff like that. But Spotify is free. You don't have to pay for it anyway. So just... Mm-hmm. Just go and click on it and just click on the Joe Rogan Experience. And then I think it's from 2 days ago, if I'm mm-hmm. correct or not. Where was I up here?
Look it up.
I got it.
He always has interesting guests.
Just go right onto Spotify. It's free. So, and you can go.
Yeah, because it's on video on there, isn't it, Del?
Yep. Dr. Sanjay Gupta is in green there, if that shows up or whatever.
I've seen Dr. Sanjay Gupta lots on CNN. So like I said, he had to be pretty brave.
See if I can do it.
To go on there, knowing this was going to be probably the flavor of the discussion, but also just a thought. No, this is just a thought. Maybe he's ready. Like maybe he doesn't necessarily go along with the narrative, but he has to, right? That's his job. That's where he gets paid. That's where his bread and butter is. Yeah. Maybe that's why he agreed. I don't know. I'm not inside his head. I'm just surmising. What do you think?
Yeah, well, he's got his points of view, and that's what it is. And I think everything that he asked there and the question he asked were good. And you can just see the way, and it's weird to see how somebody, I'm talking about the doctor here, that they don't want to change their point of view and they'll make every excuse around it. And it sort of, over this 3 hours there, he sort of went, now I understand. And that was sort of
that's what I meant. That's probably why he won't let it go though. Right. Like, because he's under contract, he's got, because he's not unintelligent. I've seen this. He wouldn't have been hired in the first place if he didn't know what he was talking about. But the whole thing is, right, he's got to hang on to that narrative because that's his bread and butter. Like, he'd be fired, I'll bet you, if he did a 180.
Right. And it comes into the whole thing there about CNN and the CIA and stuff like that and pulling narratives, right? Like, mm-hmm. If people are not aware about that at all, that a lot of the major news sources there and people that are in charge.
Yeah, but try and also prove double, that double to somebody. Paid. Try and prove that. Like, I've been working with somebody privately, and they have someone very close to them that isn't on social media. All they have is Reddit.
Yeah.
And they're not unintelligent. Yep. Not that intelligence should matter, but I meant they're capable of research. They understand. They even know about George Soros.
Yep.
But that's about where the line is drawn. So they don't believe that there's any fake news out there. Try and prove to somebody that there is censorship, especially without social media. Okay. And that their main news sources, who at one time may very well have been somewhat trustworthy, but now aren't. Mm-hmm. Because depending on what your belief system is and your viewpoint, you can find something to support your narrative. But I'm going to give you props here again, Del. I remember when this all started and I walked in, and I think you were watching CNN, and how I asked it isn't radio friendly, but I basically said, why are you watching this crap? And I still remember what you said, and I share it with a lot of people. You said, Lore, we need to be watching everything. We need that from both sides. So mm-hmm. we have a good idea of what the narrative is out there. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. that's the whole thing there is, right. You watch whatever it comes, you watch both sides out of there, and then you come down the middle, you get the perspective, right? I think this is a word that has been lost, is perspective. And
critical thinking,
critical
logic,
thinking, perspective, logic. It's all come down to feelings. This is how I feel. Believe my feelings, right? And this is such a sad state of affairs. And I'm gonna probably say that Hall & Oates song probably 100 times during this show. Sad state of affairs,
state of affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was fine state of affairs.
Yeah.
Fine state of affairs. No one cares.
Yeah. You didn't play your guitar. That's why.
That's right. There you go. But anyways, out of the whole thing, though, is that if you don't, I told you this before, is that if you don't know about the dark and the light, how do you know where the fence is between the two, right? You just can't study light stuff and then not know about darkness.
I think that's important to point out, because you run into people, many, who only gravitate to what feels comfortable or what their belief system is. And as I always say, what you believe is what you perceive and becomes your reality. And it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was something important for me to realize right in the beginning of all this, that you're absolutely right. Because I did. I came in and said, why are you watching? Why are you watching this crap? Is what I said. Jeannie just said, yes. Good point, Del.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like I don't know. It's like the whole thing is that how do you make soup and you put salt and pepper in there, but you don't know how much because you've never done never tested it out, right?
Or you don't cook with spices at all, so yeah. You don't know what food could taste like with a bit of salt and pepper, unless, and then when you have it, you go, oh my gosh, is this what I've been missing?
Yeah, that's right? actually a funny one there, because I remember my buddy.
I know, I was thinking about that.
JW, and I won't say his name, and his mom never cooked with salt and pepper, mm-hmm. ever. And then we were out camping and I barbecued. He goes, what's this? And this, and he goes, oh my God, I've never tasted food like this. I says,
yeah.
Don't you have salt and pepper in
there? That's what it was making me think of.
Like, holy jumping. This is like, I can't cook bland food. And then even his dad, I worked for his dad there too for a lot of years. Lovely man. And yeah, he just says, yeah, she can't cook. no taste buds, right? But
how do you know if you've never had it, right?
Yeah.
So you do have to be aware of both. Even with what I do, like psychic medium and all this stuff with the paranormal, we both have lived through the paranormal. And sometimes we do talk about the paranormal when we do your show too, Del. Right. And I don't think you can really know until you were the one that told me that when we first started hanging out years ago. I had started doing angel cards. I had got my certified angel card reader certificate. And you said to me at that time, you need to be aware of both. Otherwise, how will you ever know the difference? How will you ever know who you're connecting with or what you're doing? And you're right. We need to experience it all.
Well, that comes into this whole discussion we've been having many, many times here, not on the show, but just even on off of the whole UPRN stuff there, is that how do you know who you're talking to, who you're getting messages from?
True.
Because the biggest thing that has been told through history, through all these other books mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and people throughout history, is that the dark likes to imitate the light
mm-hmm.
and likes to go and trick, and they call Lucifer the great liar, the most beautiful light in the world, but the prince of lies. And mm-hmm. So how do you know who you're contacting, who you're talking to? And that's a question that I think a lot of people that I've been watching that don't ever ask. They just figure, the assume says, oh, well, nobody would lie to me.
Well, it's not even that. I have had a mentor tell me before that, well, when you're dealing with something dark, it's just like when a little child has a Halloween mask on and is trying to scare you, that they're the scary monster, you can see right past the mask. That is not true in my experience. And many people that I have discussed this with, there has been many that have worked in this field, that something has happened, and it's not through any fault of their own, not being careful. And how I liken it to is, some of these things are older than time on this planet. We're one little tiny human being. And I don't care how strong your spidey senses, as I call them sometimes when you're unintuitive. Sometimes, yes, they can get past you. They can. Mm-hmm. Or when you start dealing with evil stuff, it doesn't go, you know, you get a lot of people, especially with what we went through, you know, you get people, you just send that my way, I'll just kick it right in the butt. And I've tried to tell people that, you know, when you're dealing with something like that, it doesn't do what you tell it to do.
Right.
It goes after things you can't control. It'll go after your children. Mm-hmm. It'll go after your pets. It'll go after your money. It'll go after your health. Things that will hurt you and bring you down lower vibrationally, energetically, if you will, because then it's more easier to do whatever it wants to do to mess with you.
Right. And that mm-hmm. This is a part that people also miss all the time there. And I've never heard this. I have heard this a couple times, but this is the thing. Evil people do good things sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the whole play. You understand about the game. You have to, that's why I say, is that you have to go and gather all the information you can. Yeah. Look from every different side, and to do that. And if you're not willing to spend the time to research stuff and look at things, then you know what? Then that's your own fault. It says that there's not, I can't convince you to do anything. And, but some evil people can convince you to believe things.
Well, actually, Jeannie, you said you heard Michelle talking about that last night. Actually, Michelle and I, we're on the same page with a lot of things when we do paranormal host chat. You too, Del. You've done stuff with her before too.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remain humble when you're working with energies like this. Like, I would be considered, I guess, a light worker, or the new term is light warrior. I'm just saying it because it seems, you know, people seem to have heard of those terms before. But I think we need to be very humble with this kind of stuff. Because the more that we think that we know it all, that's as soon as they'll knock you on your butt. And I've heard Michelle say that too. I've heard her say that you do, you have to, like, we're not going to know it all. Like, I think I'll be learning till the day I die. I will. Yeah. Children's a huge one. Yep. Children, especially. Those are the ones you really, as soon as I hear somebody say they've got a child, and sometimes it truly is a child. And I know Amelia, her co-host, she works with children a lot, but you do have to be careful, because they know that most human beings that have a decent heart are going to gravitate, especially a woman will gravitate towards a child in need, or a child crying, or
right. Yeah, that's so true there too. And that's the thing, is that this is this whole mentality that's played out there, that you think that women and children are weak and stuff like that. And this is what evil spirits will use that actually use these things to draw you in and entrap you in or do something nefarious to you. And it's so interesting that people put these perceptions on certain types of visuals, and they put it there, and like you said there about a transgendered male dressing up as a girl going into a female bathroom and raping twice. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so would you look at that any different? Go, oh well, no, he's just a little bit. She or he or them or whatever term you want to use says, it wasn't their fault. They're just a little bit misguided. Yeah. So now you're giving excuses to bad behavior.
Never mind the fact that we have to look at this for what it is and remove the label.
Yeah.
And what about the victim? This poor young girl. I mean, forcibly sodomized. He went into all the details of what happened, not gory, gory details, but told us some of the charges. Okay, this perpetrator did a lot. And then as soon as I'm so proud of this father for saying, no, you are not going to handle this internally. The police are being called. He had a fight with the school and get loud. And this is the letter that went out to the parents. Did they tell them what happened? Right. No. And then they let this guy come back to the school.
Right.
And he did it a couple months later. I think it was in an empty classroom.
Right. So you got to figure out of this, right? When you get organizations that they get too much power, right, that are not elected, but they do push and bully people around, like the Human Rights Coalition of Canada, and you get things like BLM, Antifa, and stuff like that, and they do nefarious bad things to the rest of the public. Because they feel this is what they need to do, right? To do a point, but they're not doing anything they're not doing anything productive, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, look at those ones. There were the three lesbian ladies that ran the BLM there. They stole all the money and bought houses and real estate. They didn't do any, and they left. All they did was they went and stole all the money.
Yeah, but we're seeing this double standard. Like, didn't the police officers all take a knee when BLM was the big thing? But then now it's like they've done a complete, not all of them. Please, we're discussing in general news stories out there. Not everybody's like this. I mean, I don't even think it needs to be said, but it does. We're not painting everybody with the same brush. But we're seeing more and more and more of this coming from the top down, if you will, the leaders of our countries, depending on where you live, promoting this agenda. Like where we live in Canada, who's in, as Del referred to him, JT in the Sunshine Band, before the election, you wouldn't believe the censorship rules he's putting in. Like we basically, well, what did you call us? Chinata. We'll be Chinata. Because well, it would be controlled what we see, what we say. Go ahead, Del.
Chinada. Chinada. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Chinada. Okay.
Chinada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, was that when you restrict free speech and restrict things and put more rules and regulations in, you suffocate the populace. And we've talked about this many times, me and you, Laura, about this, is that in my 51 years since 1970, when I was born up to now, the amount of regulations and the laws that have been put across just here in Ontario, not alone just Canada alone, but just in Ontario, have increased tenfold plus. And it's unbelievable. Things that you were able to do, right? When you put more restrictions, when government gets bigger, they restrict more. And that is just
you said, though, too. And this is important for people to hear. Now, again, you can't force anybody to believe you, but you got to go back through history. Once the government puts something in place and turns it especially into a lot of, does it, like I just about fell off my chair years ago when I found out that income tax was only supposed to be for a couple months.
Yep. Yeah, I told you about that. Yeah, about that. Mm-hmm. It was just it was a way to go and recover some funds there to help for the war, right? Mm-hmm. But once it gets implemented, it never goes away. And that's the thing.
9/11. Look at how our whole world changed with flights and stuff. Has that ever ended? Like, people keep thinking we're going to go back to normal. There is no normal. All the laws have been changed and once government gets a law in place, they never, ever rescind it and remove it.
That's right. And it's the same thing as that when they put in an extra tax or tax something new, mm-hmm. that it'd say it never, ever changes. We talked about this. This was funny when we were talking with Varla Ventura, and I love talking to her. She's a great guest in that. And about the price of vodka in Canada, in Ontario,
oh, here, yes, yes,
in the States, the price of vodka is the same brand, same everything. Yep. You buy a 66er in the States, just 35 minutes down the road.
Okay, so 66 ounces in liters. What is that, 1.5 liters?
Yeah, they're both.
Yeah, that. I thought so. Okay. Well, Jeannie's over in the UK, so she wouldn't be using ounces. So.
Okay, yeah. So you have, there's Mickey's, then you have 26ers.
This is Canadian. 44, this is Canadian language for sizes.
66 ounces, anyways. So, mm-hmm. which is one of the big bottles there, anyways. So up here, it costs you anywhere between 70 and 100 bucks.
Yeah.
And then the States, 35 minutes away down the road, you can go over there and buy it for $10. And now with the exchange, it'd be about $14. Same product.
She just asked how much. We're talking probably on average 75 to 80, a little higher premium, $100 for a liter and a half of vodka, and $13, $14 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 35 minutes away.
Like, yep.
And that's how crazy things are. And this is the craziest thing is people don't understand about inflation, and they think that inflation is just a natural cause of government. No, government causes inflation. Mm-hmm. Government spends your tax money, the money that you make and you work, that you pay taxes on, for everything that you buy, everything you do, every hour you work, and then the government spends it on stuff mm-hmm. that they don't ask you what they're spending on, right? And they don't have to. In the States, is even worse when they get into black budgets and stuff like that. I did a whole show about black budget spending mm-hmm. and what they do with companies that off government companies or what, I can't remember what they're called anyways, but it's just crazy. So government spends tax money, and when they don't have enough tax money of your money that they tax you on, they increase the tax on it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So you work, you get taxed on your work, you get taxed on your chocolate bar that you buy at there. The person that's pumping your gas is taxed on that. This person is taxed. The tax is so hidden throughout society, and
yeah, but people
they
think,
call it inflation. Well, we
yeah,
need
but
to
people
increase...
think our health care, for example. You're right about inflation. Sorry, I was just going to add this. I didn't mean to stop you there. People think that our health care is free. Our health care is not free. We are taxed to the yin yang everything. The one thing I did want to throw in there quickly, I didn't mean to stop it because I think it's important to talk about inflation. I was just mentioning this to somebody recently, your analogy about the potatoes. So just let me throw this one point in there. The other thing is too, with your birth certificate and your children that are born, you have to register with the government. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how sometimes children's aid and things, that's a whole different show, but that's how they have the rights. They can borrow future money from the Federal Reserve based on your child being born.
That's in the States. Yeah.
There's other countries too. I looked into it. It's not necessarily here, but a lot of countries, they can do that. go ahead. But you, what about the potato dell? Because I just told somebody this and it made so much sense. When you first said it, I tried to argue with you. Well, no, there's technology and there's, and then I realized, no, you're right. So go ahead and share it because I think it's brilliant.
Okay. So a potato is still the same potato from 50 years ago to today. Okay. So to grow that potato 50 years ago, you had to go in, or even 100 years ago, you had to go and use a rake and use a shovel and dig out and get, dig out a whole piece of property, a horse, a plow, when you had to get this other stuff there to do this. It was very labor intensive and the potato cost about less than a penny. Okay. It's the same potato then than it is today. Okay. Now you have a potato that, you have a machine, might cost you, hey, say it's a $1 million tractor that goes and plows acres and acres and acres of field in a day, where it would have taken you a month and and how many people, right? Mm-hmm. The work to do that potato that cost 100 years ago was cheaper than it would have costing now. This is inflation, right? That things are supposed to be, as technology and life improves, things are supposed to get cheaper, not more expensive. And any idiot out there that goes and tells you the opposite about that is an idiot that's working against civilization and stuff like that. Is everything is supposed to get easier and cheaper. As technology improves and you do things faster and cover more area, it becomes cheaper. The potato never changed.
That's true.
The potato is still the same potato, right? But the potato now, today with inflation, now is worth $3 or 50 cents or whatever, instead of a quarter of a cent, right? That's, but people don't plug that part into their thing there.
Well, I think it's because, you know what, like, isn't it, if you tell, I forget who said this, I know you remember, but if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth.
And Joseph Goebbels,
yeah. And then what happens is, right, as generations and generations go onwards, it becomes the norm. You just expect inflation, you expect this, you expect that, and you don't know any different because you didn't know any different. There's been, that's what happened to your parents and your grandparents and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So you think it's the norm, right?
Well, that's a thing that's been said. And I've even, when I've talked about this and posted stuff on Facebook or message board and stuff like that, and they say, well, just deal with it. Well, no. How about we just understand what's actually going on? Like, oh, you're complaining about something that you have no control over. Yeah, you actually do have control over it. That's why you have an election. And that's why you put people, well, actually, you know, in elections, that's actually a bad
point. You're reading my mind.
Elections is a bad point there because.
Seen a great t-shirt that said, it said something to the effect of, okay, I'll just go along with it and not question anything. Said no truth seeker ever. That's so awesome.
Well, that's the thing, right? So when you question things, and this is what happened for a lot of years, they called you a conspiracy theorist, right? And that was basically calling you the N-word. That was basically, that's what you are. You are a pariah. You're the N-word. You are the worst person in the world because you're questioning authority, okay? And I've said, since I started this show 2+ years ago and stuff like that, question everything, ask questions. That I gave this whole analogy. As you're a little kid, you're questioning everything, who, what, where, and why. You go to school, they start telling you, these are the questions to ask. When you're done school, you have no more questions to ask because you've been told all the answers that they want you to know. And you stop asking questions of anything. And I think that's what a lot of society has done.
Ask yourself two questions, regardless of what it is. Why do we have to do this? Why do I have to do this? Mm-hmm. And the other one is, based on what? If you can't answer those two questions, there's a problem. Are you just going along with the narrative? And I'm not talking about breaking the law or anything. I'm just talking about being a lawful, law-abiding citizen and, you know, if you can't answer those two questions truthfully, including, I think it's so important that we take a look at what's going on around the world. So many people, Del, we've talked about this on your show before. We talk about it privately, live in their own little bubble,
yeah,
in their own little space, and you have no idea what else is going on in the world. And it's so vitally important that you realize, we get right back to the analogy of not never having salt and pepper in your cooking before.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, that's the thing is that this actually came up, and this is funny, is that I've talked about this so many times, and I just saw this come up in a Dave Chappelle show and another comedian show and stuff like that about asking questions to the narrative. And it was funny that people are all saying, oh, well, because now he's saying it. Yeah. Oh, maybe I should question things. And it's unbelievable that people don't do that more often, that they just sort of just live in their bubble. And we talked about the bubble, that people are only concerned about what affects them in their little area. It's the same thing with government. People says, well, I don't care about politics and stuff like that. It says, well, do you have a job? Do you pay taxes? Then you should worry about government, because that's what's dealing your paycheck.
Or if you're in a place of authority, well, that won't happen to me. Yeah. I'm sorry, but you're part of the human race. Yeah. That's happening to other humans.
Right. This is like that. That's the whole thing there, is that when you go to the store and you're wondering why the gas is up an extra 25 cents from the day before, mm-hmm. that's politics. That's what you should be worried about. And you should be worried about when you go and get your receipt that your loaf of bread now is $4 instead of $2. That's politics. That's the whole thing there. And if you're not worried about it, I guess
you're independently wealthy, I guess, and you live in a bubble.
Yeah.
Jeannie says she's got a sister like that in her bubble. You know what, Jeannie? I think we've all, no disrespect because I feel you, but all of us have people like that around us, right? And there's nothing you can do. You can't force somebody to wake up, as much as it would. You just feel like shaking some people sometimes, right? And I have met people when this first started that I had some information. I have a small group of people I share stuff with. And you included Jeannie. Actually, I just remembered that. There's a few things I do need to send you. And I'd sent something to them. And one person said, please remove me off your email list. Well, we're in Messenger. I didn't email you. And the other person said, absolutely not. That will never, ever happen. And here we are. Here we are.
Well, so it's just, it's unbelievable that you get people that can be very adamant about their own things. They're in their bubble, but they don't understand that, that other things outside their bubble affect what's happening inside their bubble. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the best way to say or sort of say that. Mm-hmm. And when you don't care about politics, you don't care about the world outside of your.
Well, I didn't. I was never involved in politics because, like, I literally was listening to some ad today. I don't know what it was for, and it was for some Canadian political party, and she was slashing down the other two parties that we have in Canada, the main parties, and saying, and if I'm voted in, I want this done, and I want that done, and I want this done, and I want that done, and I promise it'll be done. And I thought, based on what? Like, you think you're just going to go in there and change everything? Like, you got to have the money. You got to have the people backing you. Like, who's going to give you the money to do all this? You can say whatever you want. That's mm-hmm. the whole point, right? And I don't think people realize this, that once you get in there, you can promise whatever the heck you want, but you've got how many hundred other people in there that have been going along with the narrative all along. You're just the new kid on the block, and you can say whatever you want. You can truly mean it, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what, like, I've talked about this about politics, and said when you go into, when you're in small town politics, you're doing stuff to go and help the town. That's basically in your bubble, right?
Yeah.
You're around your town, stuff like that. Then you get a little bit bigger and you go into municipal or state or township or bigger and larger stuff like that. Now you sort of forget about your town. You don't forget about you. You're always making sure you're good, right? And then you get into provincial, state, and then federal and stuff like that. Now you've sort of, as you've gotten bigger out there, that your little town is such a small little piece of what you're actually dealing with, except your pocket. You're always worried. You're always good with your pocket, but not all the people that lived around you in your small little town. They're not so important anymore. And that's the way that politics sort of works. And once you get bigger and bigger, you notice that they're self-servant. That's basically what they are. They're not a friend to the person that lives down at 342 Belmont Avenue that's losing their business because of the government is sort of closed down stuff because they're forcing jabs on people. And that's where it goes to. And that's what people don't realize. People don't think about it. And there is people that do think about it, and they're out there protesting about this. But then you have government people that are government paid people like cops and stuff like that that are going, well, we don't care. I'm getting my paycheck to go and beat you up, right? That's I'm here like that. What was that one that they had there on that the Rebel News did about the guy with the sandwich factory or something like that? And they brought you know, was that the whistle stop there? They brought in like 100 cops on horses. Like, look at the money that was paid out on that to go and shut down this guy's business. And he was doing takeout. Right? People don't see the logic. The logic has sort of stopped there. I'm not sure if there's maybe the logic stopped with the jab. Maybe there was something in there that sort of froze people's brains, that they're not seeing the bigger picture out here. And
I've wondered that. The other thing that I've been saying lately too is, if we all just put our differences aside, I've been saying this for a while, and we pull together, the only weapon that anybody ever has over us is fear. When we pull together, there's strength in numbers rather than some of the division we've just talked a little bit about with marginalized groups and what have you. By highlighting them, we're creating division. But if we all pull together and really tried to hear each other, even if we didn't agree, okay, and realize that the fear that's put out there is the weapon. If we all got over the fear, they don't have anything else to use.
That's a good point there, Laura. That's a good thing probably to end on there. So I want to thank everybody that's been listening there. We got there a couple of minutes there before the next show there starts up. I'm not sure who that is.
Michael Angley, I think.
Oh, yeah. So you guys can stay tuned and listen to him there, and then whatever commercials are going on after us here. But that's it. It says just ask questions. Don't stop asking questions. There's a reason why there's called W5, who, what, where, when, why. And always do that. Ask questions. Throw everything in the pot. See how it mixes up and come up with your own reasoning. Don't let somebody else tell you what the answer is. You should figure it out for yourself. And that's probably the best thing I can tell you. That's the delicious recipe. So thank you very much, Laura. Tell them where they can find you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jeannie and Michelle and anybody else that's listening and watching. We're so grateful for you guys listening to UPRN. There's always something for everybody with the programming on here. You can find me on Monday nights here at 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Angel Rock. Next week, I have a fellow UPRN host. She's on Friday nights at midnight. Her name is Kathy Bilski. She is a fellow light worker. She's in Hawaii. She does work with dolphins and water, and she's pretty on the ball too. So I don't know where our discussion's going to go, but I think it's going to be pretty lively. So I hope you'll tune in. And Del also mentioned Barla Ventura. She's coming from a Halloween show. So hope to see you guys there. Sending you guys all much love, and have a good one. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.